What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com's Backstage Report podcast for June 23rd, 2024. Been doing these on Sundays lately. We've got some more time throughout the week to kind of work on some other stories. So getting this done on a Sunday, that way you can check it out on your morning drive. That will certainly not be the case next week after I say all that, because Forbidden Door is next week. So look for the Backstage Report on Monday or maybe even Tuesday of next week. But you know what? Enough of that. We got plenty to talk about right now. New lead writer of SmackDown has been confirmed by Fightful Select. John Swicata has been promoted to lead writer on WWE SmackDown. He replaced Ryan Callahan in the role, who we are told parted ways with WWE. I don't know if he was let go, if he decided to leave, or if it was a mutual thing, but Swicata has replaced him. Now, when we do these types of reports, whether it be somebody leaving or getting promoted, we always like to give you a little bit of their history and the like, but there was no information on Swicata. And then I had to start digging, and I'm like, okay, how long has this guy been there? Like 10 years he's been there. Guy's been around for a long time. In fact, one of the only mentions of Swicata I could find was like a 2014 tweet from Road Dogg. But we're told he's been with the company for years. A number of former writers actually reached out to Fightful to say that he has long been a well-liked member of the creative team. There were some people pretty excited about it that I spoke with as well. Speaking of excitement, the new Wyatt Family group debuted on Raw to huge buzz. Teases for this group started in early April when we had reported that the end of the Bray Wyatt documentary was a tease for the impending return of Bo Dallas, who is still portraying the Uncle Howdy character. Bo Dallas has been under contract since 2022 when his brother Bray Wyatt was also signed to the company. So Nikki Cross played the Abigail-inspired character, Dexter Lumis as Mercy the Buzzard, Joe Gacy in the gas mask, and Eric Rowan was signed in the character that was inspired by the rabbit. Rowan was specifically signed for that role, but others were kept off TV to prepare for it. Immediately after Raw, the group was acknowledged on WWE programming by Jey Uso, which we were told would continue almost immediately. Even though the group was not likely to interact with every program on Raw, we were told that within the company, the ramifications will be widespread across various programs with domino effects on stories that are happening up and down the show. And those that we spoke to said that the wide array of talent and people attacked in the story and the characters who left before the show were planned, calculated, and designed for specific reasons. And by the wide array, I mean people who were not there intentionally. People who were there intentionally. That will play out as time goes on. Select had reported that last weekend that there were no supernatural elements planned for the group, and there were a lot of people saying, well, there was smoke, so there's got to be supernatural stuff. Somebody got shot in the head. There's got to be that. I followed up with people in creative. They said you cannot beat ghosts with wrestling moves, said that would be hard to pay off. That's something that was actually set up in that Bray documentary, but we're told still no supernatural elements. The group was not listed on the rundown, but it wasn't a secret that they were going to be there or anything like that. As the main event happened, the stage was quickly set up to show the reveal of Nikki Cross's character, which was impossible to hide from the audience. WWE was very happy with the camera shot and the reveal that went backstage, then followed Uncle Howdy back out to the entranceway. WWE sources that Fightful spoke with were also over the moon about the crowd reaction from Corpus Christi, which long held a reputation as one of the deadest crowds in WWE. As far as production, buzz, feedback, everything that I heard from the segment, WWE was very, very happy with that. Also, they had not been named intentionally on social media or on programming. Paul Heyman was the first person to mention them and called them the Wyatts, although I don't know if that's like an official thing, an official reveal of the name or whatever that may be. Megan Bain. So I'm going to clarify the confusing reporting that went on. So a while back we had reported Megan Bain had been under contract for quite some time. Yeah, that was accurate. She was under contract. She worked some dark matches for AEW and was put under contract, ended up getting injured, came back, worked some more matches, and Tony Khan and AEW management encouraged her to get outside bookings as it relates to improving in the ring and getting more comfortable, which she did and had a great run in Stardom. About a month or two, probably about a month and a half ago, we had got word that there had been creative pitches for Megan Bain within AEW. And several people that we spoke to said, oh yeah, she's still here. There's creative pitches for her. Then that got corrected a little bit. I had another member of the media, and then I had a couple people close to her, and then a member of creative say, well, she's not under contract anymore. And a couple of those said there are creative pitches for her, and there has been contact. So at some point in recent months or whatever it was, her deal was actually up, and she is a free agent. However, she has been in contact with AEW. So there was some confusion inside AEW. I can tell you that creative, the ones that were making the pitches, knew that she wasn't of contract. But specifically, I'm told Rocky Romero has been in contact with her about possibly coming in. Don't know if that will happen, but wanted to clarify some of the reporting around that. I don't have a specific date on when her deal was up, but she is currently a free agent. We got a few more free agents to tell you about. Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, they are on a per-appearance deal with TNA. We have not heard of any continued talks between the Hardys and AEW outside of hearing that the door seems to remain open for both sides to work together in the future. Sources within TNA that we spoke to were happy with the post-show speech delivered by the Hardys, Nick Nemeth, and Joe Hendry at Against All Odds. But Matt and Jeff Hardy are still free agents. Matt was actually supposed to finish up with the company and only do a few appearances. However, they added to that when Jeff became available. Shane McMahon is also a free agent. So this isn't new. This happened a while back. However, I feel like it's important to distinguish that because we don't operate on assumptions. Now, there was word last week that, you know, Shane McMahon could join AEW and a lot of stuff like that. Shane has talked to people about that. I believe it was Conrad Thompson that said he had heard that. And Shane McMahon has definitely had those conversations with some people. It just hasn't been the higher-ups in AEW. Tony Khan told Dave Meltzer that he's never met nor had a conversation with Shane McMahon. I'm told by sources in AEW they have never heard conversations regarding Shane at a high level. Talent, it wasn't even on their radar until it came up last week. However, Shane McMahon has had conversations with people in general saying, man, wouldn't that be crazy, et cetera, et cetera. So I got to back up Conrad there on that, but also seems much ado about nothing for some people there. Now, we last saw Shane McMahon at WrestleMania last year, and before that, it was the Royal Rumble in 2022, where he made a really bad impression on a lot of people. And Vince McMahon himself said to somebody close to him that Shane McMahon would never get another pop as long as he ran WWE. And then, of course, that only lasted about 6 months, and Shane McMahon was back the following year, but had an injury in that WrestleMania match. However, we're told that he does not have a talent contract or anything of the sort with WWE any longer. He is free as a bird, and I know that he was in 2K24. I was told that's a part of a separate agreement, and he is a free agent. He does not work for WWE now. But somebody who does is Jacob Fatu. Now, we told you this story on the Fightful Post SmackDown show that I hosted this past week. I want to swing by there on the bigger evenings and give you guys a bunch of news. And this is one of the stories that we highlighted. Now, Jacob Fatu has been signed for several months, almost three. He was around WrestleMania weekend. I'm told that he was very respectful and very nice, and everybody liked him, and they really appreciated his approach there. He will continue to use the Jacob Fatu name. He made immediate good impressions in WWE. His father and Tama Tonga and Tongaloa's fathers teamed up for years in the 1980s as the Islanders, who were managed by Bobby the Brain Heenan. Now, a lot of people wondered what took him so long to debut. Well, as Jacob Fatu will readily admit, he has a criminal record. He was in prison when he was 18 years old, and as a result of that, he's not been able to work outside the United States. WWE had a ton of PLEs outside the United States, from Scotland to France to Saudi Arabia, so it didn't make a lot of sense for WWE to debut him and then not be able to feature him on those shows. So he's there now, he's made a great impact, he's going to be a big part of WWE moving forward. WBD and AEW. So June 19th did a historically low number for the company. I'm not a big numbers guy. I'm not a big ratings viewership guy. I like to celebrate good ratings. And if there's a really, really bad or concerning viewership number, we're going to get some reactions on it. And that's what we did, because that was a really, really low number. 502,000, down from their 681,000 the week before. I spoke with AEW. I spoke with WBD. AEW sources talked about the lead-in. So Big Bang Theory usually does a demo number of 200,000, I think-ish, 250,000 for their final quarter hour. That's just the demo, not the overall number. This week's lead-in was Black Panther, which landed under 85,000. So, I mean, that right there would be like just the demo number, a difference of, gosh, 140,000, 150,000. Now, that largely only affects the first quarter hour, maybe the second if people hang around that long. But AEW were told that the tune-in number, which is people who tuned in specifically for the show or tuned in as a result of the show, ended up being strong because of the lead-in drop-off. AEW talent that we spoke to were surprised by the number. However, I reached out to a WBD rep about the number, and they said, "It's just a very odd week in general, a confluence of stuff with the Juneteenth holiday in the middle of the week." And they said, "When does a midweek holiday ever happen in the late spring, summer months? Competition with Olympic trials and college baseball World Series in primetime, amazing weather in much of the country, especially in the Northeast. So lots more people out and about. Wouldn't really put much into one week's number, although I know the wrestling community likes to go nuclear with these kind of one-offs," indicating that they expected the number to increase next week. The WBD source also says they do not expect this number to affect the potential of a new AEW-WBD deal. Caleb Braxton is leaving WWE. So this is a story we've been on for a couple of weeks at this point. I actually spoke to Tyler Edwards of Black Label Pro about this live at his show a couple weeks ago. But when Kayla changed her name on Twitter to Kayla Becker, Fightful had been told that she was working without a contract on a per-appearance basis. However, we weren't able to verify that. In fact, when we asked WWE and Kayla, they both said that she was still with the company, which was technically true, but it was on a per-appearance basis. I reached out to Kayla again on Friday as I heard that she was set to leave the company, and she announced herself on June 22nd that she would be stepping away from WWE next week. A very amicable split, but we're told they did have conversations, discussions about a new deal, but we're not told of what came of that. However, I am told that she is expected to be in demand both in the wrestling world and in the media world, which, no surprise, a lot of people in WWE like her. She is constantly put over for her attitude and professionalism, so I can't imagine her not being a massive success elsewhere. Corey Brennan learned that several UK names were invited overseas to Scotland for the trip to Clash at the Castle. Some of the names that he confirmed were Damian Corbin, Rio, Aaron Echo, Andy Roberts, Shreddy, BT Gunn, RP Davies, Danny Jones, Brady Phillips, and Mulligan. Some of them partook in extra work. RP Davies was notably spotted on WWE socials helping AJ Styles to the back after his match as well. Gabe Sapolsky played a role in organizing and inviting the talent to the show, and has previously scouted WWE talent in the past, including appearing at a number of shows WrestleMania week to scout out talent. Good job for Corey Brennan there. He is really leading the charge on UK scoops especially, which is a market that we've not quite cornered until he rolled in. So good work from Corey there. He also found out about Bernal's injury as well. During the episode of Level Up that Javi appeared on, the injury occurred on a dive to the outside of the ring by Riley Osborne, where Javi's leg would end up buckling. Brennan is told that Javi did not return to his feet without the aid of a referee and his tag team partner, Drake Moreau, following the match's conclusion. We've not heard if this decision altered the finish of the match, but asking around with NXT sources, we did not hear of any internal heat directed at Osborne or anything for the injury. Lio Rush is back in the fold at AEW, and it's abundantly clear now, but he appeared randomly in that gauntlet, and a lot of people were like, okay, maybe the fences are mended. Well, we reported that he did speak interpersonally with Tony Khan. They have long had a pretty good relationship even before that, despite what the public believed. But that they had a good, productive talk, and Tony Khan made the decision to use him regularly, which is going to happen. He was immediately booked to face Roderick Strong on the next night's Collision, then won a qualifier, helped do a run-in for Top Flight, was in a segment with Top Flight backstage, and is now in the ladder match at the pay-per-view. So, listen, man, if we'll go into opinion mode here. If you have ever heard me talk about Leo Rush, I think that guy gets a bad rap. I have had to report unbecoming things about him in the past during his time in WWE, and I thought that he handled that incredibly maturely from an interpersonal perspective to me. We had a conversation about it. He told me how he felt about it. I've done an interview with him numerous times. He's got a family to take care of. I think that he is an unbelievable in-ring performer. Since the first time I saw him in ROH, I was very impressed. And when I first saw him in NXT, he was capable of things so incredible that I sincerely believed that he could be this generation's Rey Mysterio. And I still think there's plenty of time for that. He is 28 years old. And I think that if he gets the opportunity and he seizes that opportunity in AEW, he is going to be something very special. He's talented as a musician. He's talented as a promo. He's talented in the ring. I think that he can be a next level star in pro wrestling. So I'm personally very happy to see this. Brooks Jensen, lots of people asking about him. Listen, the way that I look at this, either it is a work, as has been indicated to us, and it's kind of gross, or there's something seriously wrong, and that's also kind of gross. I've asked WWE about his status. That request has went unreturned. More New Japan talent expected for AEW TV this week. No surprise. Jannai Kai, Jordan Blade, Emily Jay were backstage at the AEW tapings in Virginia. Josh Woods is back on AEW TV. He was recently cleared for an in-ring return. As we've outlined, there is a hope within WWE that they have CM Punk back for the SummerSlam pay-per-view, or PLE. Darby Allin was given additional time to heal up after Double or Nothing, after that match saw him hung upside down and kicked in his already injured face. There have been changes to Raw and SmackDown the day of multiple times over the past couple of weeks, and Dynamite as well. We're told that within WWE it was creative changes. With AEW, it was more of an advertising error. Gigi Dolin, she is expected out through the end of the year. Wrestling Observer says she's got a torn ACL. Hate to see that, man. Hate to see it. We did confirm WrestleVote's report, which made me pretty happy. Indiana Sports Corp looking to work on a multi-event deal for major WWE events. Royal Rumble 2025 location isn't locked in, but it looks like that's the destination as of how they're targeting things. Fightful AEW Collision co-host Rick Pitino also learned that Cincinnati officials reached out about interest in hosting an event. Alicia Atoute is with AEW full-time. She had been considered and planned for a spot as far back as last year. Fightful Selected reported Damian Priest was fine after his Clash at the Castle spot. He's already booked for another show. Priest received a lot of praise for his performance there. Fightful will have staff on scene at TNA Slammiversary, WWE Money in the Bank, WWE SummerSlam, and AEW Forbidden Door. If you are a talent and you happen to be listening to this, or a promoter, and you want us to do an interview with you, hit us up. Hit us up via the official Fightful account in the DMs of our Fightful Select thing. Drop a line to me directly. We are looking to schedule interviews. For those asking regarding Buddy Matthews, the spot on Collision was always planned. News from NXT, Javion Evans received praise for his camera awareness on that episode of NXT. Despite being in Orlando last week, Dijak was never in plans to appear on last week's NXT as well. Wesley appeared to be thrown for a moment by Brooke Jensen's... I'm going to say that one more time. Brooke Jensen's attempts to rush the ring. He wasn't supposed to acknowledge those reactions whatsoever. We confirmed with NXT sources the events taking place in the background of Eddie Thorpe's promo was Brooks Jensen, quote-unquote, being arrested. Joe Hendry is expected to make more appearances for NXT in the future. They were very happy with his reaction from the crowd there. Also, New Catch Republic were announced as Wesley's partner a couple weeks ago because they didn't want people to think it was the Rascals. Really high praise for the Braun Breaker Ludwig Kaiser camera shot had been planned throughout the day. Cross and Woods was pulled from WWE Raw. We were working to find out why. Just a creative change as best I know. They'll have a match next week. Or this, actually, Monday on Raw. Tomorrow on Raw. Damn it. Tomorrow. There will be some talent talking to media at community events planned for Money in the Bank, if you guys wondered about that. We asked about a number of the slips on the ropes, and a WWE source chalked it up to the ropes in Scotland and bad luck. They are not particularly concerned moving forward. As of this week, there was no firm date for the DIY A-Town Down Under match. Austin Theory, they're expecting him to be back within the next week or so as he woke up with swelling. Other NXT talent besides Nathan Frazer, who appeared this week, have been discussed to appear on WWE Speed. The Punk Drew McIntyre shot was rehearsed and planned meticulously. Anderson and Gallows, a little Easter egg on SmackDown. They were staring down Cody Rhodes as he walked by. They aren't listed as the OC internally. They're just listed by their ring names as a team. WWE sources we spoke to said that they considered this past Friday one of the biggest SmackDowns since WrestleMania of this year. Guys, I just want to say thank you all for supporting us. Thank you for spreading the word about FightfulSelect.com. It's one thing when I'm out there promoting Fightful Select, but man, I got that pinned tweet that posts a lot of the things that we did and what we do at Fightful Select, and there were dozens of you that commented or quote tweeted, and that means so much to me because it's one thing when I promote it, but it's another thing when you guys talk about it. So I just want to say thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.